Tri-City Tips Bet for Wednesday, May 26th, 2021. Good evening and welcome. This is Kilo One Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim and I'm located in the city of Brockton, Connecticut. I will be in that control station for this evening. Membership in the Tri-City Club is not necessary nor required for participation. All licensed radio amateurs are welcome to check into the net. Those that do not wish to check in are certainly welcome to listen. This net operates on the 147.060 MHz repeater with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. It can also be heard on Echolink. Look for W1DX- that's Whiskey 1 Delta X-Ray Romeo. If needed, the secondary 146.67 with a PL tone also of 156.7 Hz. The net is held this evening starting at local time with various net controllers on a rotating basis. This net is intended to provide an informal operating environment for new operators as well as for experienced amateurs. The purpose of this net is to provide presenting questions and obtaining input related to amateur radio. Also to promote good fellowship among amateur radio operators and to encourage the use of good operating procedures. Let me reset the repeater. We will call for a round of checks, and when we have everyone checked in, we'll go down through the list and look for comments and questions. During the check, please state if you have questions for the net. We'll ask questions after doing this check in. There are three sections to the tips net. One, the open net and rounds of questions and comments, as I just described. Two is a section for announcements about upcoming events and items of interest. And three, there's an opportunity for those that wish to swap, sell, or are looking for amateur items. Unless otherwise directed, all communication should be directed to the net control station. When checking that, please say, "This is," then release the mic button and listen to ensure no one else called at the same time you have. If nobody has, then go ahead and give that and slowly give your call sign phonetically, and then also give your name, location, if you have a question or a comment. This is the tip set, and Net Control KC1TWR will start taking check-ins now. Please come with your call sign slowly.
This is Kilo One Delta Charlie Tango with a question.
Good evening, here is Kilo Alpha 6 Papa Delta Golf, Kevin, Norwich, no traffic. I may not be around for the first round. I just blew a fuse and I have to go down to the cellar.
Here is Whiskey 1, Foxtrot, Juliet, Whiskey, Chuck, in Groton. No questions. Victor, Steve, Coventry, no question. This is Whiskey 1, Romeo Papa Queen, Bob in Oakdale, no questions. This is November Tango 1, Oscar, Jerry and Preston, no questions.
Sputnik recognizes Dave, KC1DCT, with a question. Glad he's in first place. It makes it easier. Kevin, KA6PDG, who is making his way downstairs to fix a blown fuse. Chuck, W1FJW, who perfectly doubled, I think, with Kevin there. For those who are not experienced with people doubling, if you're newly got your license or what have you, that was a good example of two people talking at the same time, and they both unkeyed, and one of them recognized that the other person had already started, so they waited for them to check in, then they checked in, which is excellent. Also recognized Stephen, K1B, Bob, W1RPQ, and Jerry, NT1O, and I forgot that it should be an echolink instead of using RF. Okay, any further check-ins to the tips, Matt? Please come now with your call sign.
Let me ask a question. question. You use it for your 2 meter and your scanner. Are they on the battery all the time with the charger going? Or is this backup power so that when power fails, you switch over to the battery? That's about it. W1FJW, back to net.
Okay, good question. Let's go back, Dave, briefly and get an answer to that, whether the radios are on the battery continually or just when power goes out. KDCT, KC1TW.
KDCT, yes, the radios, the charger, the battery, and the radio are all connected together. There's no switching. Or when power goes out. So this stuff is it's all connected together and it's on. The 2 meter it goes off at night, obviously, so I go to sleep, but everything else just cooks along 24/7. K1 DCT.
Thank you, Dave. Let's move on to Steve and see what his thoughts are on this. NK1B, KC1TWR.
NK1B. Yeah, you did state that it would be for your shack, and that being said, I would I agree with Chuck. I would go with the best for price size that fits, you know, like a RV type battery, on, you know, deep cycle 12-volt battery. That, well, that's pretty much, I was blessed with a pair of huge golf cart batteries that I kind of stumbled across. I actually have four of them. They're 6 volts each, and they're 750 amp hours or something crazy. Two of them are in my camper, and two of them are here on my shack. And I use it's a very smart charger. It's a Noco Genesis charger. I used to switch over with relays and the power supplies and all this stuff. I don't mess with any of it anymore. I just leave this charger running all the time. It handles itself. It handles the battery. And I also have it on a timer that once a day, I let the charger shut off for about an hour and then restart. It just seems to help everything work smoother. Let me reset. That being said, that's what's in my shack, and that's what I would recommend. You know, Chuck's on the right track. Anything portable, it is very much worth the price for lithium polymer style batteries and stuff, the newer ones. But there is no overwhelming benefit for something like that, I don't feel anyways, for home use, you know, for something that's not getting moved around, or even in a vehicle. I have lead acid batteries deep cycled in my truck. I have a secondary battery for my radios and stuff, and have no problems at all with that, because weight's not an issue there. But that's the main reason I feel for those. I mean, there are some benefits, but versus the price, it's just not worth it yet. Back to that, and K1B.
Charging, because normally we will come back and you'll just plug your boat in when you get home, and it could sit there for a week and it's either perfect when you go again. So they have the ability to charge when it's needed. It helps get rid of any hysteresis in the batteries, and that'd be my recommendation. A good quality battery, but a really good quality charger to protect your whole setup. W1RPQ, back to net.
Power, medium.
I don't know how long it would go, but I have to believe it mostly in receive. It'd go at least a couple hours. If I was going to use this out for field day or something, I don't have anything new to offer, and what everyone else has suggested is probably a lot more like it. But for home, so far, this has given me security that I'd have it. If the phone system was down, cell didn't work, and I needed to call for help. T1L, back to net.
Steve, NK1B. I suspect that Venture, Connecticut, from the northwest, could be the weather that's being pushed on it that might be affecting things. But we're going to go to Kevin, see if he's. And the question that Dave proposed is state that he has that he got used and seems to be showing signs of failing. So he's looking for a suggestion on
PDG back from the cellar, all is reasonably well. It was a circuit breaker that tripped, not a fuse. I'm old, so I say fuse. I copied most of the question, I think, and I don't believe I have any advice for Dave. I do want to mention, if you'll permit me, that your signal, Tim, now you're, and I think it's the radio that's transmitting Echo Link up at the site. Seems to be a deviation thing. It's dropping out on your voice peaks, listening to it critically. When you're speaking quietly or pauses between your sentences or phrases, it never does it. But when you get going, probably like all of us, you talk a little bit louder, and it's dropping out of the passband, I think, on the transmitter that Joe has up there on 220. So that's a whole lot of words to say. Maybe if you can back up your audio just a tidge. I know that sounds very unusual. Seeing how for a long time it seemed like your audio was always low. But yeah, that I think is what's going on, as I'm sure Joe is fine-tuning whatever's going on up there with the Echolink radio. So I'll make that my transmission and back to net. Sorry, I can't help Dave. Okay, 6PDG.
Have their varying uses. Some are rigid, some are loose. So, to use a non-technical term. So, I've checked into a number of nets. One that comes to the top of my mind is on 40 meters, it's the 7272 is the frequency. It's called the 7272-CHU. So it's kind of like the Breakfast Club net that, just down there and talk about things. But, then there are some that are, hurricane nets and maritime mobile nets that are useful for keeping people in touch with each other or home, wherever that may be. So they certainly have their uses, they serve their purposes as needed. I don't check into a lot of them, but good to know they're out there and the frequencies to keep on a list somewhere. So that's all I've got for that. K1DCT, back to net.
Okay, thank you, Dave. Good information there. Let's move on to Kevin, see what he thinks about any net certainly he would recommend between, and let's expand it a little bit. Let's go from 6 meters up to 40 meters. KA6PDG, KC1TWR.
All right, thanks, Tim. I noticed you left out 75 and 80 meters. Maybe you had a reason for that that I didn't copy. I'm not real active on 6 meters yet. That's sort of a project for this year to get my butt in gear and be a little more active on 6. I have the equipment. I just have a diplexer that I'm not sure is working. I'll stick to the 10 through 40. One of the nets I like to check into on 40 meters is ECARS, the East Coast Amateur Radio Society net. I am not a member because they insist on a donation, which I have some sort of subtle issues with, but that's okay. I still like the net. And I'll check in there several times a week. That's on 7.255. Sometimes I'll check into the YL system net, usually on 20 meters or on 40. They do an East Coast version on 40 meters. I don't remember the frequency. 20 meters, they have a YL system net. Well, let's see, somewhere around 14,330 or somewhere up in that neck of the woods. I'll also check into the Maritime Mobile Service net on 14,300. And 10 meters, of course, I've talked about the Flying Saucer net Thursday nights at 9 o'clock, which is a local net on 28.475, Eastern Connecticut local, 28.475. Let me reach that. I think with, I guess, most of the nets that I make a point of participating on and maybe doing more than my share of gabbing on, quiet Dave, are on 75. But what I do find useful with a lot of the nets is it can be a way of checking and seeing how your signal's doing. And I use DX stations the same way when I hear these guys calling CQDX, and I know that I can contact one of them and get a good signal report on the first or second or third try. I know that my station is working fairly well. K6PDG, back to net.
Okay, thank you, Kevin. And the question started out with the fact that I'm very familiar with a bunch of 2-meter nets, and it's a whole slew of 80-meter, 75 and 80-meter nets that are well attended in the area. And I had not heard too much in the way of nets in between those. Consequently, and I've modified the question slightly, I was asking about any nets that people were aware of that they might recommend for one reason or another, or they might actually be attending between 6 meters and 40. So,
let's continue on down the list here and see what other people think of the question, or maybe they have something else they'd like to bring up. Let's go to Chuck, W1FJW, this is KC1TWR, and the Tips Net.
Well, I cannot help you much with the nets. I haven't been on the bands enough to comment intelligently about that. But jumping back to the battery, there's a school of thought that says with a modern smart battery charger that the loads shouldn't be tied to the battery. A modern smart battery charger charges battery with all the current it can muster until the battery hits about 13.8 volts. It varies with temperature, but that's about where it hits. And then it holds that voltage, and the current generally falls off. And when it hits some low value of current, then the charger will charge it at that current through a constant current circuit and let the voltage creep up to about 14.2. Here again, varies with temperature. And this voltage is a little too high to hold the battery there forever. It will use some water, but just for a few minutes, it's fine. And when the current falls below a certain value, the charger secures charge, declares the battery full, and drops back down to, say, 13.8 or somewhere around there, and holds voltage. And if you have a load on the battery, then the current never drops down to that very low value required to shut the charger off and change modes. And it will keep current going at about 14.2 volts to the battery. And the way it's touted it should be handled is to have a pair of auctioneering diodes and a power supply that's normally set just high enough so that the power supply supplies the loads and it'll default to the battery when the power supply fails. The other school of thought is the power supply is switched by a relay, which has the coil of which is powered by the output of the power supply. So when the power supply fails for any reason, it drops out and the relay brings in the battery. Just a thought. Back to net, W1FJW.
Okay, thank you, Chuck, for that information. Quite interesting indeed. Okay, now let's move on now to Steve in K1B, and you can either talk about the battery, talk about the nets between the 6 and 40 meter inclusive, or anything else you'd like to bring up. NK1B, KC1TWR.
NK1V. I got some good information that Chuck gave. That's all stuff to think about, especially with using, like, not running right off. I always wonder about that with the charger, but especially with my better radio, but some of the less important radios, I don't worry too much about it. But nice one. I'm a little bit nervous about it because everything I have is running off the battery. But then again, in my truck, it's a Dodge truck, and they run high voltage. I don't know why. They're like 14 and a half, almost 15. I guess that's the way it is. I've been on multiple forums. But the nets, I don't do a lot of other... I do hear them out there in 20 and 40, and I don't have it here, but I have a nice little list on a scratch pad out in my Go set up there, because I try to make sure that if I'm doing anything portable or, you know, parks on the air or anything like that, that I try to be a good ambassador and avoid stepping on nets or anything like that. So when I come across one, I try to make a note of the time, the name, and the frequency, just so I can try not to, you know, to be good about it and just not go there. Back to that, NK1B.
Okay, very good, Steve. I hadn't even thought about that. That's another good use of knowing what nets might be on other frequencies. Okay, let's move on to Bob and see what he thinks about any of the nets between 6 and 40, but more about the battery or anything else you'd like to bring up. WNRPQ, KC1T.
TWR, this is W1RPQ. First on the battery, note for Dave, if you're going to go out shopping around and looking, stop by Fair Marine in downtown Norwich. They carry Interstate Marine batteries and top-rated batteries, and most all the fishermen I know around here, that's what they're using. So good quality battery, and they get a pretty fair price there. On the nets, I listened to a few, but I have a program. It's called NetLogger. Probably some of you guys are familiar with that. A lot of nets use that program to check in, so they can keep track of all the people, because a lot of these HF nets can get a lot of check-ins. But part of that is there's a whole page of all the nets that are available at any particular time, and it tells you the frequency. And it, for me, it just makes it easy. Let me go see if I can find this net. And then I'll listen. If it's something I'm interested in, I might check in and find out more about it. But NetLogger, for me, is an easy way to find the nets. And then if I want to, it allows me to log in and be tracked. And very helpful on a lot of the breakfast nets down there on 80 meters. W1RPQ, back to net.
Okay, thank you, Bob. Good information about the NetLogger and another source for marine batteries. We have one more person we're going to check in with, then we'll do another call out for check-ins. So let's go to Jerry, see what he thinks about all these nets or battery or maybe something else. NT10, KC1TWR.
KC1TWR from NT10. Tim, I'm sorry, being obviously new to this, I don't, I've been listening to obviously some of the other nets on 2 meter. I thought about the breakfast net, I've heard the weather net, but I haven't pursued or even heard any of the other nets on anything from 160, or anything else on HF up to the 50 megahertz band. As for other things, just some feedback on questions I've been asking. Last night, for the first time, I heard a ton of traffic on 10 meters. I hadn't heard any before, so Chuck's and other people's advice to wait till field day or whatever before you feel the antenna's not working was good advice. I made a couple contacts. A lot of them couldn't hear me, but I did make a couple, and like I said, I couldn't believe how much traffic. The band was full. Not tonight so far, but it's not even dark yet. So thank you all for your advice. You guys were right. Just one other thing, and we can probably next week is a better time for this. I lost my mom in January, and as a result of that, I lost my dad a few years ago. We've been going through the house, and one of the things that I found was a business vertical antenna that my dad had used years ago. Still in very good shape. It's in the mid 30 megahertz range, and I was thinking about using it on 10 meter. I might have have to extend its length somewhat. It seems to be like a fiberglass loaded base, and then there's a radiator at the top. And my first inclination was to try connecting it with an ATU, seeing if I could tune in anything on 10 meters with it, which is the closest band. So this is something I'm going to be trying, and maybe I'll ask this as an actual question next week, but I thought I'd lay it out now, seeing as we had a few extra minutes, so just for people to think about. You guys have been very much helped to me over the last few months since I've been on this, and I very much thank you for all of that. That's really about it. And T1O, back to net.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Jerry, and good luck with that work on that antenna. There may definitely be some thoughts on that from various people. But as you said, we'll wait until next week and then tack it unless you feel it's an urgency to it. This is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club on KipsNet. Open to all amateur radio operators. If you'd like to join us at this point, please come now with your call sign.
HFNet's discussion, 6 through 40 meters, because one question you posed is, or you kind of wondered aloud, are those bands as net friendly as maybe 75 and 80 meters? And I think the answer really is yes. There really are a lot of nets, particularly on 40 and 20. If anything, you might find folks out there that would say there's too many of them. I'm not one of those people. I like nets. As long as they're polite, you know, I have a little issue with these one-hour nets that have a three-hour pre-net and a four-hour post-net, but anyway, that's not part of this conversation. But I would say all the bands are net-friendly. You don't find as many on the work bands, like 17 meters and 12 meters and stuff, and maybe not as many as on 10, although when 10 is open, you have a lot of 10-10 nets and so on and so forth. I did hear a couple of stations say they haven't done too much with HF nets, and that's fine. That can be personal preference or just not knowing where to start. I think Bob made the comment about NetLogger, and that is a good resource, although I don't use it. I don't have a computer in the shack, and I don't really feel the need to use it, but that may change someday. Let me reset. Just as a word or two of encouragement to those who haven't really explored HF nets or might feel a little bit intimidated or not sure where to start, there are nets for all different interests. I mentioned the YL system. Dave mentioned the 72 Chew, which I've checked into. There's all sorts of boating interest nets, like the waterways net on 40 meters in the morning. There are, oh my goodness, Yaesu users nets and ICOM users nets. Tim, KC1NYC, likes to check into the Temtec users net. There are military type nets, submariners nets, retired Navy nets, religious nets, nets that help you work all state, get your WAS award or DXCC or whatever. It's just, there's whatever your interest is, boating or weather or religion or cars or trivia or whatever. So if you have the inclination, and some people aren't big on nets, but if you have the inclination, explore the nets that are on HF. There are a lot of cool ones. KA6PDG. And I do have a net of the night when we get to announcements. Some theme music. Nah, maybe not. All right, tonight I thought we'd spend a minute or so talking about the Rhode Island Swap Net. Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock. Really great net, very friendly. And it's linked up on a number of repeaters throughout the state of Rhode Island. The easiest one that most folks on this net would probably find is the Westerly repeater on 147.390. That's 147.390. Down 600 for the input, and the PL is 67 hertz. 9 o'clock every Saturday morning. And it's a net that lists swap items just like it sounds. Folks who have equipment they're wanting to sell or trade or looking for or giving away or whatever. The other thing the net does is it lists announcements such as nets that are going on and hemp fests and events that are going on and VE sessions and stuff. In fact, the net's been very good to the Tri-City Club with announcing the VE sessions, and I think we need to put an announcement about this net up there. If you list something on the swap net, on the Rhode Island swap net, it stays on, I believe, for 6 weeks, and then it automatically drops unless you request to have it continued. Let me reset. And at the beginning of every net, they take check-ins, and a lot of people check in, pretty much all of them with no traffic, although if you have something that's appropriate for the net by way of a swap or an announcement, just list that when you check in, and Net Control will get to that in his rotation of things to do there. I really recommend the net to folks. It's a lot of fun just to listen to on Saturday mornings while you're washing the kitchen floor or having breakfast or reading the paper or whatever. Rhode Island Swap Net, Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock. They have a website where you can post your listings through the website, and they will be read on the air. And that is riswap.net. Again, riswap.net. K6PDG, and that's the net of the night.
Agree with you. It is a very good net. I listen to it somewhat frequently. I only check in once or twice a year, but I do like listening to it. They also have announcements, and they play that that one cast from the ARRL with news from the ARRL. And it's a good net, good friendly too. Okay. As far as announcements go, I know that we have the not this weekend, but next weekend is the Museum Ships Weekend event. The Museum Ships Museum has reopened, and therefore there should be some foot traffic with people and what have you. And then we, of course, have Field Day coming up. But let me not hog all of this. Does anyone have any announcements about upcoming events or items of interest? Please call now.
W1RPQ with an announcement.
W1RPQ, please proceed.
This is W1RPQ, and my announcement concerns Field Day. Field Day 21 with Tri-City Amateur Radio Club. If you are interested in participating with the club, please contact Tim, KC1TWR, or myself, Bob, W1RPQ, and let us know that you're going to attend. You don't have to attend for the whole event, an hour or two, or whatever your interest is. If you could let us know, how much equipment we're going to bring, as well as planning on food and refreshments. So if you're thinking about attending Field Day with our club, give us a shout, let us know, and that will help with our planning. W1RPQ, back to Net.
Okay, 6PDG with an item. Okay, like you, I didn't want to hug it. I thought you were going to make the breakfast announcement, but no, I guess I have to do it. breakfast Saturday mornings at the Uncasville Diner, are back on, at least on a trial basis. I understand the guys started the Saturday I was gone, last Saturday, and there were four people who showed up. It's a good start. Saturday mornings, 8 o'clock, all amateurs, their friends and family, or those interested in ham radio are welcome. In the sunroom at the Uncasville Diner, social distancing is practiced, and a good time for all. So spread the word, and we'll see everybody Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. Did I do that all right, Tim? K6PDG.
People do want to show up, and last week we were there for about 2 hours, believe it or not. We are down in their, they have a sunroom, as it were, which is separate from the main dining area, which is nice because that allows us to spread out, and it's not quite so noisy, and we have a waitress, Heidi, who takes very good care of us. So, anyhow, if you'd like to attend, it's open to all amateur radio operators. This is not sponsored by any one particular club. It's just a group of amateur radio operators that got together and said, gee, let's have a breakfast on the weekend. And lo and behold, it became so. Okay. Any questions or comments for either Kevin or Bob or any further announcements, please come to the call sign now. Radio, and
This is a Linco DR-135. The microphone has 8 pins with a locking circular ring that locks in the connection once you've slid the connector on. The reason I would like to borrow it is I have a DR-135 radio that seems to have issues, and I think it's tied into the microphone that the issues are, so I'd like to borrow a microphone just long enough to test it. Test out my hypothesis and see if it works. So if you do have one that I can borrow, just contact me, either through email or what have you. Any other items for the third section of the TIPSnet, please come now with your call sign. Completed the three sections of the TIPSnet, and we're going to go into close-up mode. However, as always, we'll do one last call out. Anybody else that would like to check in, or anybody with any comments they'd like to make, please come now with your call sign.
PDG, one question for the net manager.
PDG, please go ahead and proceed with your question. This is KC1TWR and the TIPSnet.
Yes, for the net manager, who I believe is also the net historian, also the net control. we are either at or very close to the second anniversary. What would you call it, the second or third anniversary of this net? I'm not sure. I think the net began in June, but it may have been the end of May, and this is our last net for May. I wonder if the net historian or net manager or net control would be in a position to do some research. I can look at the recordings. I don't think we started recording the nets until the third or fourth week, though. So I just thought I'd throw that out there, and maybe next week being the first Wednesday of the new month, we'd want to celebrate the net anniversary, if it happens to be appropriate. KA6PDG.
AM1700.org/tipsnet. That starts with an alpha Michael, AM. The Tri City Amateur Radio Club sponsors this net and has their meetings on the second Tuesday of each month. Normally at the American Red Cross office in Montville. However, lately they've been having them on Zoom due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Meetings start at 7 p.m. and are open to all interested persons, licensed or not. The information for the Zoom meetings are usually posted on the website about 3 days before the meeting. So you can go to tricityarc.net for that information. This net will meet again next Wednesday at 7 p.m. on this frequency. I will be returning the repeater to regular use after I make a comment, which is that we're always looking for other net controllers, people who would like to either pick up one day a month, or maybe just once every 3 or 4 months would be good. If you've been paying attention, hopefully you will have noticed that I didn't do much in the way of answering any questions. The net controller, the way I run it, is primarily just to make sure everybody gets their turn in turn, that questions get distributed appropriately, and try and keep time on the net. So you don't need to be an ace amateur radio operator. You just need to have a little bit of patience and follow the script. So if you'd like to do either of those, give me a holler at some point. This net will meet again next Wednesday, as I said, at 7 p.m. Now return the repeater to regular amateur use. This is KC1TWR wishing everyone good evening and 73.